You're listening to a previously recorded episode of the Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. The show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Active 8 Gaming, it's The Undercard.
This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Active 8 Gaming, it's The Undercard. Bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Happy Tuesday to everybody as I just dropped my phone under the table. It is officially episode 196. We got to give a first shout out to Rick from the Inn Place and Bar where I was before here. He let me sample beer, so I got a nice little buzz going on. We got a good pregame.
I think that's known as payola, just so you know.
No. So thank you, Rick. He gets the first shout out. But this show's going to be sponsored by the Detroit Brawl 3, which is happening at the Masonic Temple this Saturday, July 16th, 6:30 p.m. And we got a lot to talk about. Crazy week for America, crazy week for sports. And we'll talk a little bit about the American side of it. I am joined by, as always, Marvin and Jimmy.
What up?
And then Ring Girl Honey's in here.
Hello, or, people.
Or
out
seven.
There.
Now, don't jump
Hello,
the gun.
Yeah, I'm teasing them.
Well, we're gonna talk about possibly getting
honey is better. Honey is
a
better.
Different name,
honey
but
is
we're
better,
we'll discuss
better.
It. We'll discuss it. Okay. I have some ideas.
Okay.
I have some ideas.
Okay.
So let's start off crazy. I believe there was a guy by the name of Brad who did a show called The Undercard on Podcast Detroit that said when the news that the UFC was going to be sold, I said, wait until the 200th show and then they're going to come out and they're say it's sold. The 200th was the climax. If you go back about 6-7 episodes, I said it. And sure enough, as soon as 200 happened, they signed the dotted lines and the UFC is officially sold for $4 billion. To a group that's led by Michael Dell. That's right, Dell Computers are still around. And $4 billion. But let's just talk about the people that we care about. So the brothers go away. They'll have a little bit of minority say in this.
Yep.
But it's estimated that Dana White's 9% will come out to about $363 million. So he's going to get a lump sum of $363 million. But the good news is that ESPN is reporting that Dana White's going to stay on. And I'm going to tell you why this is good news, and we're going to move forward a little bit on this.
Wait a minute. You said that Michael Dell's group is going to be. I thought it was William Morris Endeavor. It was WME.
It's WME something else. It's them and Dell.
They're the major stakeholders, though. It's them.
WME is, yeah.
WME and like their finance company or whatever. They're the major stakeholders.
Well, Michael Dell's a part of that, I think. Wait, hold on.
I just want to make sure that I had the right. You said that he was the leading in it, and I was like, I'm pretty sure that William Morris is going to be
okay.
They're the controllers of it.
You absolutely may be right.
Okay.
The only name I recognized was Michael Dell. So
you didn't remember Ari Emanuel? Did you not watch Entourage? The show Entourage.
Yeah.
Ari
Gold.
He's based off of Ari Emanuel.
Okay.
Well, it's WME William Morris Endeavor.
Yeah, it's WME IMG or something. IMG.
WME IMG.
Yeah, WME.
But there's another company that's also part shareholder, and I think that's the one that. Is Dell? I'm trying to. I'm looking through a bunch of different.
Yeah, just intersect in here when you have it. Anyways, I mean it's new. It's coming out as we speak. But the group that you're talking about, Marv, already own the rights to Ronda Rousey and a lot of the UFC.
Well, they were.
Publication.
Yeah, they were their Mm-hmm. They're an agency. They're a talent agency. So WME were like actors, actresses, singers, stuff like that. And then IMG were primarily sports.
Here's my concern for them really quick. Let's just talk about them. One, it'll never be worth more than $4 billion. It peaked. I really do believe this, and trust me, it would help the undercard if it would be worth more. Dana White comes out and says this is going to take us to new heights and all this good stuff, and that's nice, but they peaked at $4 billion. To think that the UFC got $4 billion is absolutely amazing. And I can't see them getting back $4 billion worth of investments on that. I'm not a business guru there, but it seems like you would have to have the UFC for a very long time to get $4 billion worth of investment out of it.
Well, I think they're WME, like this company that bought them, they have been buying up a ton of stuff, particularly like sports related. I think like they're trying to they started off as agents, but they are now trying to get into content production and like owning it like all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they bought UFC mainly for what's UFC, what's their fight card, what is that, the streaming service?
Oh, I don't, the UFC network, really?
Yeah,
Fight Pass.
I think so.
I don't know,
because as much sports stuff as they do, I think they're going to use that as like a linchpin to I don't know if they're going to come up with some kind of new a Netflix type of thing or what for like sporting events, but I think that was a major contributing factor to why they bought.
Okay, the deal, WME IMG, that the purchase was backed by private equity company Silver Lakes Partners investment firm KKR and the private investment entity of Michael Dell, the billionaire founder of computer company Dell Incorporated. So it's WME IMG, Silver Lakes Partners, KKR, and Michael Dell, who all now own a stake in this company.
Now let me tell you, Bobs, how it works. I have a boss that tells a boss that tells a boss. You know how many bosses I have, Bobs? Anyone picking that up?
From office space.
That's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of different owners. Obviously, there's got to be.
So when I screw up, I have 15 different people.
Plus Dana White telling me I screwed up.
Right. Exactly.
Just to give an idea how big the sale was, because they're considering this a sports franchise. The Los Angeles Dodgers been purchased out of bankruptcy for $2.1 billion back in 2012. And at that time, it was the largest sales price on record for a single franchise. So here they come and they shatter the $4 billion mark. Now, ESPN is reporting that Dana White is going to stay on as president for 5 years. They're reporting that he's going to get somewhere near what Roger Goodell gets from the NFL, which is $21 million.
Possibly more if it does well.
Yeah. So not only is he getting the $363 million, which Uncle Sam's going to take a lot of that. So he's probably got to work a lot in life. So Dana White will be doing for about $21 million or more that. And, he applauded. He says, this is great for us, you know. And obviously they're using the WME IMG brand to make it more Hollywood, make it even bigger and better. Because the statement that WME and IMG said is that we've been fortunate over the years to represent UFC and a number of its remarkable athletes. So for them, they're rolling into something they're a little bit familiar with. Now, let's talk about the immediate benefits, okay? WME, IMG can play it two different ways. UFC has been very much the bully. You say something in the media, you could lose your credential. They've been very harsh. There's journalists out there that even admit that they've been paid by the UFC to cover the UFC. Now, they can clean up it and allow journalists to actually have a little bit of free press enterprise with it and allow the sport to, believe it or not, become bigger. I believe that the UFC's policy on how they handled out media passes was actually counterproductive in the fact that they weren't getting coverage from people that were objective. And I think that somebody that reads news nowadays, especially with the internet and how fast that information travels is that they're looking for someone to be objective and just not be a guy that's just rah-rah-rah UFC. So this could be a benefit. Maybe these guys, even though Dana White will still be president, will allow for more media people that have been banned over the years or more media people to be a little bit critical of the product to have access to the UFC and make the UFC a little bit bigger. The negative side point, Dana White's still the president, and maybe the bully mentality might still be there. And if you've written something bad about him in Sports Illustrated, you still might not be invited to UFC 201. So you know there's going to be a turnover period with a company this big. It's not like they only had a few employees. It's not like it's an oil change place on the corner. You have a multi-billion-dollar company, and as this transition goes, it's going to be interesting to see how this company is going to either stay the same or grow a little bit. UFC 200, which we're going to break down the card in a little bit, was a very much celebrated event for whether it be the brothers or Dana White. You could tell in the octagon that they were celebrating this big sale, and they should. I mean, they got a lot of money. UFC 200 for them was going to be a big event. Bringing back Brock Lesnar, big event. Originally Diaz and McGregor, big event. John Jones versus DC, big event. They tried to make it as big as possible. They spent a lot of money on the salaries, and it's probably what the UFC should always be doing, but they decided to spend a little bit of money because they knew they were selling the company. This is just my speculation. So as this story unfolds, and Dana White, trust me, Dana White being there is a good thing. I believe if Dana White was not a part of the UFC, it would be bad for MMA. He is the life force. He is who people look to. He is everything that that he is the UFC. He's to UFC, as I've said before, what Playboy and Hefner, they're just combined. Even though he owned 9%, people associate Dana White with the UFC. And then props to the brothers and Dana White. They took something for $2 million that was literally going out of business in 2001. Lorenzo and Frank were casino operators. Dana White convinced them to buy it for $2 million in 2001, and now the thing's worth $4 billion. So there is congratulations in order to those guys. That is quite the American dream. The undercard is here, partly because the Ultimate Fighting Championship was so much success. MMA across the world is here because UFC had so much success. And so those are my initial thoughts on the sale. As more information comes out and as we learn more, I'm sure we're going to touch on it. Very happy Dana White's here. Hoping WME IMG allows for better for media coverage. I still don't like the Reebok deal. Brock Lesnar made $5,000 from Reebok because that's where he qualified in the Reebok deal. I'll still critique UFC as hard as I've ever done it. And we won't be those people that just stand by and think it's okay. And as we break down UFC 200, a card that I was not impressed with at all, there is a lot missing from it. And as we break that down, we will continually be that independent show. Now, as things move on, maybe we'll be welcomed around. Who knows? Maybe we won't be welcomed around.
I'll be interested to see how the fact that it's a talent agency, how that will affect the Reebok deal itself. Because them being a talent agency, agent gets paid 10% of what the athlete makes, right? So the more the athlete makes, the more the agents make. So I'll be interested to see if they try to figure out a way to rework that deal or get out of the deal or whatever. Just, I mean, if nothing else, for the sake of their agents.
Yeah, and look at it. Justin Timberlake was there at UFC 200. And if you're WME and IMG and Marvel understand this because he came from a producing degree. But if Justin Timberlake has a movie coming out and he has points on the backside.
Yep.
And you are to put his movie, which is Timberlake 2, on the center of the octagon. You have him ringside, and you mm-hmm. advertise his movie knowing that whatever it grosses at the box office, your guy makes money, and you take a percentage of that money.
Yep.
Maybe they're looking at it as an investment like that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there'll be – you'll see all kinds of cross-promotion and
vertical integration, as they say. With all the talent that they're going to represent. I mean, this among other things, it opens up another avenue for that. So, I'm interested to see what they do with it. These guys, the guys that run William Morris, they're a juggernaut right now. William Morris had been around for like 100 years, and the guys that are running it right now are actually part of Endeavor. I was reading up on this today. They were an Endeavor, like that was their agency, and like they kicked ass, and then they actually took over William Morris. It wasn't the other way around, but William Morris is
a bigger name,
right? So I mean, these guys know the business. They know how to do this stuff, and they are risk takers. Yeah. Like they will go out on a limb, and they have, like I said, they have been buying a ton of stuff, mm-hmm. particularly sports related as mm-hmm. of late. So you know, I think, I mean, this is probably this is obviously the biggest thing they've done, so that's why it's getting all the news. But they have a lot of irons in the fire that this is just one part of.
The union Unite Here did an analysis earlier this year, and which put their value at the UFC at $2.2 billion. So if you use theirs, the current buyers obviously overpaid. Supposedly they make $600 million in net revenue. The closest rival to the UFC is a publicly traded World Wrestling Entertainment, mm-hmm. and they are currently at market value of $1.5 billion. The Dallas Cowboys, the Forbes estimates, is worth $4 billion, and British soccer team Manchester United is the most valuable publicly held team with a market of $2.6 billion. So basically what they are saying is, it is the best franchise. It's Boardwalk on the game of Monopoly, and that I do not believe. I do not believe it's the Boardwalk of things to own. And so
the UFC is?
No, I don't think it's the Boardwalk of things.
No, yeah, no, I don't think so.
I think it's Boardwalk if you find the right park place, though. I think
which
that
could be WWE.
Well, and that, but that's the thing is that the you're looking at it as a Boardwalk. No, it's not Boardwalk standalone. But if you find the right conjunction and you get your park place, whatever that would be, then yeah, the UFC is going to end up being Boardwalk because it is one part of a dual conglomerate that will, you know, basically put you on the top.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you can own Boardwalk, Park Place, what is it, Marvin Gardens, or what are the green ones, Pennsylvania? Like,
remember.
If you can own that whole strip, you've just won the game.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can own that one whole strip, done and done.
Yep, exactly. Yep. So, and that's probably what they're doing right now is they're buying up that whole lane of that side of Monopoly.
I mean, you got to think about it. Like, if you're the agent of the athletes,
right,
and you own the thing that gets the athletes' names out there, and you own the distribution machine that gets the names out there, that gets the product and the names out. Like, that's
I know
like,
you own.
Cannot lose.
You cannot lose.
You
that's
absolutely
exactly
cannot
right.
lose.
I actually think, and I mean, this is just me, but I actually am kind of expecting to see more UFC fighters end up in TV shows and movies now.
Oh yeah.
Oh sure.
Because you got Ronda and you got, you know, a couple
Paige
of those.
Paige Van Zant.
Well, yeah,
oh,
she's not really
hot.
In a movie. No, but she's not in a movie yet. What I'm
no,
saying
but I mean,
is,
like, as of right now, is like
no.
Hot name. For
yes. Me. So I'm saying they've already Ronda's already kind of broken into it. You had Randy Couture that's kind of broken into it. Chuck Liddell a little bit. But now you have WMEIMG. So now, yeah, you'll see a Paige Van Zant, you'll see a Misha Tate, a Conor McGregor or whatever end up being in movies and TV shows and stuff. At least I think that they're going to be doing that too.
Yeah.
Because the more exposure they get for those athletes, the more they're going to get people to watch.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I saw her on, you know, I don't know. What's the TV show on right now? Like, I saw her on The Flash, you know, or something like that. I'm going to watch her fight on, you know, this next card or whatever.
Sure.
So, yeah.
We'll probably start seeing just, like, guys dressed up as The Flash running through the middle of,
octagon.
Of the octagon during fights.
that's going to be what they dress up the ring girl as a Supergirl.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. Corner Man come out, dresses like Batman.
I'm cut man. I'm cut man.
All right, so let's run through UFC 200. Yep. Pull it all up. Right, let's go fight by fight.
Yep, yep. I'm just going by. Well, let's go with what ended up being the main event, which was Miesha Tate versus Amanda Nunes.
Which was a surprise because so what happened since our last show is John Jones decided to take a supplement in which it contained something illegal. They tested the B sample, also illegal. Now Sonnen is out there saying on radio shows is that when the USADA showed up, they tried to hide John Jones under the ring. Where he was, I'm not even joking. That's what he said on the show. So it may, and now I'm trying to lean in. Maybe they knew or something like that.
Of course they knew.
So, anyways, John Jones.
Shut up. Just get under here and be quiet.
It's like your friend putting you in the trunk. Right? Don't worry, exactly. We won't get arrested. Probably you're in the trunk.
Everything was going great, and then the tacos came out. You know, the tacos repeated, and John's like, and they're like, what was that?
So John Jones in D.C. were supposed to go at it. Huge blow to the MMA world because, as I said, John Jones is the best I've ever seen, and I was excited for this fight. So automatically, the USADA contacts the UFC and says he will not be fighting. This is a second violation. He could be facing a 2-year suspension, and that may or may not be the end of what we hear of John Jones. So that started off the card on a bad note. And let's remember – this was also the card that Conor McGregor didn't show up to a press conference, and they yanked the McGregor-Diaz card off. Brock Lesnar came on to fight Mark Hunt kind of to replace that. And so as the night went on, you really didn't know what the main event would be, except maybe the people that were there, and they moved up Nunes and Tate to the main event. And as I
said, there was a title fight.
You hit it right on the money, dude. I that's exactly right. I like overthought the situation, but you're right. They needed a 5-round title fight, and it's Tate. And as we said before, I'd like to see Miesha Tate hold the belt long enough to get some bacteria on it. She had it for just a little bit, and it's gone.
Well, when did she beat Holmes? That was, what, 2 months ago? 2-3 months ago?
But this is her first – no matter the time, this is her first fight back. Didn't defend it properly. Yeah. Nunes wins. And to tell you the truth, I didn't think the UFC 200 was moving at a good pace. We talked about it on Top Rope Review. We appreciate for them having it on, but it seemed like between every fight was a long delay.
Yes.
Whether they're talking to Diaz, whether they're talking advertising for WWE SummerSlam. The thing moved at – such a slow pace that I decided to catch the Miesha Tate fight the next day. I actually left after Brock Lesnar fought, and I was like, you know what, I'll catch it next time. And I watched it the next morning. Tate just got rocked.
She was getting
beat, didn't look prepared.
No, not at all. I have to say this, okay? Everybody said, oh, yeah, she lost because she tapped out. Nunes submitted her. No. If you watch the video, and I challenge you to watch it again, Nunes did not have that choke sunk. It was sitting on her chin. Miesha had her chin in the way. She was not being choked out. Yes, Nunes was probably putting a lot of pressure on her.
It was more of a neck crank.
But it was more of a neck crank. It was not a submission. Tate just gave up. I think at that point in time, Tate had gotten rocked enough. She just did not want to continue anymore, and she ended up just giving up and tapping out.
She's on a medical suspension for a broken nose now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, Nunes
That's
nailed
what I'm saying.
Her.
Like,
yeah,
she,
yeah.
I mean, it was bad enough that they're like, yeah, you can't fight for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Here's the thing with Tate. She could never beat Ronda, probably still couldn't beat Ronda if she fought Ronda, if Ronda came back. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Had a miracle win against Holm, who won every round and then sunk the choke in really good. This was just as important of a fight as the Holly Holm fight was to her, to get one defense under her belt because she was on magazine cover. She all of a sudden started advertising for things.
Yeah.
This is a disaster. I mean, this is a life changer. This things were going well for her, and now she's going to struggle like the rest of America to make money and work hard for it. And so in that regard, terrible.
Yeah.
Automatically, Dana White comes out and says Nunes has to fight Ronda Rousey, which, if you remember, lost to Holly Holm, who lost to Tate. I don't even understand the logic of how they pick for challengers, except that Ronda will make money
right.
versus Nunes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Nunes versus Ronda.
Well, and it's also the whole thing of Ronda lost to Holly, Holly lost to Misha, Misha lost to Nunes, so let's put Ronda back in. And if she beats Nunes, then quote-unquote, the Holly thing was a fluke.
If she's mentally even.
If she's even mentally prepared. But I honestly think...
Her boyfriend Travis Brown wasn't.
Well, and, but I honestly think that if Ronda comes back in, that... she's not going to make the same mistake that she did with Holly, where she's going to try to stand with Nunes. Yeah. She's just going to go for that takedown and go for the submission. She's not going to give Nunes the chance to do to her what Holly did to her, Ronda, and then Nunes did to Misha.
And I love to let people still eat their words from years ago, in which Dana White said that there would be no time where women would actually be fighting in UFC. And I said before that UFC 200 is the biggest event since UFC 1 when Hoist Gracie did the impossible on one night and went through a tournament and fought, I believe, three guys to win a championship against different people of different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Here now your main event because John Jones can't keep his head on straight or didn't know about it and his team chucked him under the bus. Here you have a woman fight. That is your head of UFC 200, which you guys have looked at as a landmark event. Let's move on to the Brock Lesnar fight versus Mark Hunt. We talked about it on Top Rope Review, but we'll go back again. Mark Hunt, totally disappointed in you, buddy.
Yeah.
You had to throw a lot more punches. You were able to escape some of Lesnar's takedowns with this little spin move on one leg and everything like that. And your takedown offense, defense, which me and Jimmy liked at 44%. That's why we picked you. There was portions where Mark Hunt was not throwing punches.
No.
You were not going to win the fight unless you threw punches, Mark Hunt. And this allowed Brock Lesnar to take down Mark Hunt, especially in the first two rounds. This was only a three-round fight, probably because Brock Lesnar well, there was no belt on the line, but also because Brock Lesnar's conditioning. And here you have Brock Lesnar, who would take him down, try the ground and pound. Mark Hunt has an incredibly hard head. And Brock Lesnar didn't know what to do. Couldn't find a submission, you know, with the lights on.
Didn't even look for a submission.
Oh, and we talked about it on Top Rope Review, but let's go back again. There was a period in which it looked like Mark Hunt, the punches were bothering him,
mm-hmm.
and he was going to roll on his stomach and allow mm-hmm. for a choke.
Yeah.
Which is the most basic thing you see people in the UFC learn is a rear naked choke.
Yep.
And what did Brock do? He turned him back on his back so he could have elevation and still... It elbows, fist, elbow, hammer, fist, elbows.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Brock Lesnar's hands were not broken at some time because he that's all he did.
Yep.
Third round comes along, and Brock is just gas. But Mark Hunt is gas.
Yeah.
And just there's a period where they're circling each other, and no punches are being thrown. I said I like people that finish. I like knockouts. I like submissions. This was – a very dominant performance by Lesnar, but at the same time, I'd like to see him be able to finish just like Nunes was able to finish Tate. I believe that if you're a champion, you should roll through people, even though decision's part of the game. So Brock Lesnar wins in what I will say was a boring fight.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sucked. And as great as it is for Brock Lesnar to come back after, what, 3 years layoff
Five.
It was? Five? Damn, dude, I've been doing this for that long. I remember being... at an event for Overeem Lesnar. But anyways, 5 years. So he was out of the ring for 5 years, and here you have a situation in which, for him, I personally believe it was just something that he's such a competitor, he had to come back and prove to himself that he could win. I don't think somebody as determined as Brock Lesnar wants to remember his last fight in the octagon as a loss. And I'm not sure we'll see him back, even though that's the first question Joe Rogan asked him. I'm not sure we will see Brock Lesnar back. It might have been a one and done. He has in a sports entertainment world, he has a bout with Randy Orton in the SummerSlam series, in which you can bet somebody from the UFC is going to be a part of that, whether it be Ronda Rousey or Paige VanZant or somebody else, Akeem. Somebody's going to be loaned because the UFC did run an ad for SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like there's some dealings there, but not a good fight.
No.
Absolutely not a good fight.
And like I said, when we were on Top Rope Review on Sunday, you know, You were saying it's a very dominant performance by Lesnar.
I think it was.
I don't, but see, I disagree, only for the fact that to me, a dominant performance is not you just laying on top of somebody and trying to hit his face, because it wasn't working. He wasn't going to give up. What you were doing was not working. Yes, you got the points because you were the only one that was doing anything, because Mark had no idea what to do to get you off of him, but you didn't go over the submissions. You had a chance for the rear naked choke. You roll the guy back over again. All you were doing was laying on top of him and using your body weight to try to just, you know, punch him into submission, which wasn't working. So for me, that was not a dominant performance. It was adequate. It was adequate enough for you to get the points to get the decision.
And I always think about Dana White not allowing Ben Askren in. And Ben Askren is – I sat ringside for – I'm trying to think how many fights have been Askren, but for sure one. He is the best I've ever seen in the sport of MMA, but had a problem with finishing people. His wrestling was amazing. But Dana White called him boring because he couldn't finish. Bellator knew he was boring, but I never saw him lose more than a minute ever in the ring. And here you had two fighters, Daniel Cormier and Brock Lesnar, who fought exactly how Ben Askren fights. And now is Ben Askren boring? I still think Ben Askren in the UFC is a good thing. The guy left undefeated. Bellator went on and fought in other leagues. I still want to see Ben Askren one day competing against the UFC fighters to see where he is, because ultimately he's a wrestler. Let's move on to Daniel Cormier versus Anderson Silva. Yep. Super props to Anderson Silva taking the fight on 2 days' notice. Earned respect for him. I used to joke around and say, not my number one, Anderson Silva. But let's get down to business here. If you're Daniel Cormier and you're making excuses about winning against Anderson Silva, saying I prepared for a different guy and I wasn't able to prepare for Anderson Silva, that's why all I could do was take down Anderson Silva, and you know, that was my game plan. Otherwise, I would have been a different Daniel Cormier. That's bullshit. That's just terrible. You know, your champion should tear through people. Should be, you know, the more Daniel Cormier talks, the less I like the guy. The less I think he's a good champion for the UFC. I was pulling for Anderson Silva, not because I picked last second Anderson Silva. He was the underdog. It was probably the better bet to have anyways. But when Anderson Silva in the third round, when Daniel decided, hey, I'm going to try to trade with him, you saw Anderson Silva start to win a little bit of the fight.
Yeah.
And if this thing goes 5 rounds, which—
Oh, he would have been— Cormier would have had goldens, nothing. Yeah.
Right? Or Cormier continues to take him down and not know what to do with Anderson Silva. So that's another boring fight on the card, a fight that nobody liked. I mean, there was people booing where I was watching it, you know, because all Cormier did was take down Anderson Silva. He's a fan favorite. And then Anderson Silva, never been strong on the ground game, even though he comes from a Brazilian jiu-jitsu background. You know, Chris Weidman was able to, you know, expose that. You know, he's not good against a wrestler. What else did we have on the card that night?
We had Jose Aldo versus Frankie Edgar.
Okay, I love this fight, okay? Because Frankie Edgar looked like he went through 15 rounds. And Jose Aldo looked absolutely fantastic. I think Aldo now, unfortunately, because McGregor's fighting in weight classes that are not his, has to wait. He has an interim belt, even though Conor has it in that. And whether Conor beats Diaz or not, you have Aldo waiting. But the best picture of the whole night is someone captured over the shoulder, blurry, Aldo fighting, and Conor staring at him. Did you see that? Standing staring? I posted it on our Facebook page.
Standing staring?
Yes. Conor McGregor's watching one or two.
Yeah.
Greatest, and like he looks like, I'm going to do some damage.
I'm
going to
mess you up.
Exactly. Yep. So props to Aldo. It was one of the picks I got right because I didn't have a good night. But congratulations to him. And the other fight was Travis Brown. Who did he go against again really quick?
Travis Brown versus Cain Velasquez.
He's not going to beat Cain. Yep. Cain absolutely went in there and dominated. Yep. Now, that's the thing. Let's talk Lesnar here again really quick and go to our our first break before the 8 o'clock hour where we do what's on tap. And not to mention, we have a guest on the other side too, so stick around for that. I want to see Lesnar go against Alistair Overeem, another big guy, a guy that beat him with a liver kick in which he went down. I want to see Lesnar versus Kane if Lesnar sticks around. I don't want to see anything given to Lesnar that's easy now. He's had the comeback fight.
Yep.
There's a lot of people out there. So Kane, remarkable guy. He's on the Bud Light cans right now. With Ronda Rousey, their autographs and stuff.
Which I think is kind of funny considering that he was fighting Ronda's boyfriend.
Oh, I know. That's actually pretty funny.
It's just business, man.
I only date fighters because fighters only understand.
Yeah. If I was Kane, though, I would have walked in with two Bud Lights to Travis and just kind of showed him and Ronda kind of like together, yeah. Just like.
So I just really quick, I just took a quick look at the picture you're talking about, Brad, the over the shoulder.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's great. But I love the very first comment that popped up. It's on UFC's page. But somebody said, quote, photo of the night is someone watching a fight and not someone in a fight.
It
just shows you how underwhelming this card was.
Yep, it's exactly, exactly. But that is the quote explains the entire night.
It is a badass picture.
It is a badass picture.
But, yeah, so they panned to Conor McGregor in the crowd, and he's with his girlfriend, and he's chewing gum, and he's looking in there, and he doesn't break character at all. He's just giving this look like Tyson would for like a minute while they're talking about him. He's like chewing like that looking. That guy is made for show business, dude. I've come full circle on Conor McGregor. I love everything that fucking guy does, dude. Whether it be the plaid suits or anything. That guy, he can do no wrong in my book anymore.
Told you.
He's markable. His character's awesome.
Always bet on the Irish.
Always bet on the Irish.
Except against Diaz.
Last year, I told you you'd come around, and you said, nah.
I did, dude. I had to buy a shirt from a UFC fighter other than Amanda Bobby Cooper, because we love ABC, I would buy Conor McGregor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But that's awesome, dude. He's standing up. So he's obviously pissing off the next five rows behind him.
Right.
Sit down, Conor.
Oh, yeah. You going to say something to him?
Yeah, exactly.
Sit down.
Hey, sit down. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. McGregor. I thought you were some random asshole.
I'm trying to watch Aldo.
Yeah. Oi, sit your ass down. Turns around. Oh, my sorry. Oh. I thought you were a random asshole. You're just a famous asshole.
He probably wouldn't say, oh, Christ, it's Conor McGregor. I got to get out of here.
Quick, throw a Guinness at him.
Boys, throw something at him while I run.
And I do love Mike Tyson did have a lot of moments in UFC 200. I don't know if he was ringside or not, but they kept running the commercial for UFC
200. Yeah, the video game.
Yeah, in which they were talking. Conor talks about his fastest fight, which was Aldo. Ronda talks about her fastest fight. And then Tyson out of nowhere
with
the UFC.
Yeah.
He's like, 8 seconds, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's because he's in the game.
Right, but I think it's cool.
Dude. Yeah.
I really do. Anything
no,
Tyson
I do
does,
too, yeah.
So just
yeah.
like, yeah. you know. And when we had John in here the other day, and John knew Tyson better than anybody that I've ran into, you know, stories like his aren't supposed to work out like that. To see him in commercials and being marketable, that's freaking phenomenal. We're going to go to our first break. Guess what's coming up after? Jimmy's going to go on about what's on tap.
Yay.
Then we have...
Oh, yeah, we're already there.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it went fast. Well, we started late.
We did start late,
15, 20 minutes late.
Not our fault. Comcast's fault.
Stupid Comcast.
Jericho O'Quinn, he's fighting this Saturday. I've known Rico for a long time. Top prospect who is now signed with Salida Promotions. Ooh. He's going to be joining the show after what's on tap. Happy 39th birthday to Brock Lesnar, I guess. I don't know why. Like I said, I was buzzed when I was writing my notes. I don't sound like something I would say to him, but sure.
The undercard. Professional MMA journalism right here, folks.
Happy 39th birthday.
What, right?
No, it's 39th, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So anyways, really quickly before we switch over to boxing and get into this what's going on with America later, Heather Hardy released some videos. We're huge Heather Hardy fans. She was training MMA down in Texas, doing takedowns and stuff. Maybe she's going to do MMA and boxing.
Well, maybe.
So our good friend Heather Hardy is up to that. And then Gotti, we got to celebrate Gotti. He had passed away, I believe it was yesterday or the day before. Thunder Gotti, one of my top five fighters of all time, maybe top two right behind Tyson. The guy always brought it. Tragic death. But Gotti, I mean, we should have a show just on Gotti's fights. But anyways, that's it. We're going to go to a quick break, and then it's What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down.
Do you want to do What's on Tap first, and then we'll go to a break?
Sure.
That probably works better.
Yeah, it works better. Okay, so we're going to go to What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. Give me 1 second here. I just got to pull up the ding. Yes. No, it's coming. There we go. All right. So first of all, of course, we start with boxing. We have July 12th at Nice, California, PBC on Fox Sports 1. We have Levan Gavamichava versus Briadis Prescott, 10 rounds for the junior middleweights. July 15th at Truncia, Mississippi, PBC on ESPN. We have Sergey Lipinets versus Walter Castillo, 10 rounds for the junior welterweights. Indio, California, Estrella TV, we have Jason Velez versus Rene Oliverdo, 10 rounds for the junior lightweights. Kissimmee, Florida, Telemundo, we have Orlando Cruz versus Alex Valdez, 10 rounds for the junior lightweights. Lincoln, Rhode Island, Thomas Falowo versus Chris Chapman, rematch, 8 rounds for the middleweights. At Starbrücken, Germany, we have Jürgen Doberstein versus Robin Krasnake, 12 rounds for the super middleweights. Birmingham, Alabama, PBC on Fox. Deontay Wilder versus Chris Areola, 12 rounds for Wilder's WBC heavyweight title. At Los Reyes, Mexico, in Mexico, we have Miguel Burchett versus Shalatarn Priyapino, 12 rounds for Burchelt's WBO interim junior lightweight title. Lancaster, California, UniMas, Casey Ramones versus Hardy Paredes, 8 rounds for the lightweights. Berlin, we have Giovanni De Carlos versus Tyrone Zigug, 12 rounds for De Carlos' WBA regular superweight middleweight title. Cardiff, Wales, we have Guillermo Rigondeau versus James Jazza Dickens, 12 rounds for the WBA junior featherweight title. In Italy, we have Orlando Fiordiglio versus Carmelito De Jesus, 12 rounds for the junior middleweights. New Delhi, India, Vandir Singh versus Kerry Hope, 10 rounds for the super middleweights. Here in Detroit, we have Andy Ruiz versus Josh Gormley, 10 rounds for the heavyweights. And we'll have Josh on when we come back from the break. We have Demetrius Banks versus Eric George, Darrell Van Horn Jr. versus to be announced, Georgi Gelashave versus Eric Hall, Jericho O'Quinn, that's who we'll have on the show, versus Sergio Aguilar, Serdar Hadurbadiev versus Steven Andre, Zach Shamoun versus Jose Elizondo, Geth Carmin versus Dean Walsh Jr., and Clarence Dubois versus Karen Davis. Moving on to MMA, July 13th, UFC Fight Night 91, McDonald versus Linker. We have on July 16th, Bellator 158, Daly versus Lima in London, England. July 16th, SCL 50.
You're listening to a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
I love it when we reconfig things. So basically what you're saying is we turned it off and back on again. We restarted. Thank you, Michael Dell. Actually, that would be – I guess that would really be
Bill Gates. All right, we're way behind calling Jericho O'Quinn, so let's do this. Apologize to everybody about the technical difficulties.
Well, this is what happens with internet radio. You got so many moving parts that things are bound to go wrong.
Hello.
Hi, Rico. It's Brad. You're live on the air with the Undercard. How are you?
I'm good. How about y'all?
Oh, we're super, man. You got a fight coming up this Friday. Saturday. We've been promoting it all show. It's the Detroit Brawl 3. And tell us a little bit about what you've been up to. You had a little bit of a contract dispute, but now you're with Salida Promotions. You're going to get to fight a lot of opportunities. Tell us about this transition period for you.
Man, look, I had some bad paperwork, but, you know, I stayed in the gym, stayed grinding, kept my faith, you know, and that the right people will get behind me. I got the right people behind me. Now we're about to make history, man. You know, I got to see he seen me put in some work, and he believe in me. My manager believe in me. So, you know, we headed to the top, you know what I'm saying? We're going as far as belief can take.
Now, you're one of the fighters that, since I've been covering boxing, when you were an amateur, everybody talked about Rico O'Quinn. And with this much respect, do you feel a little bit of pressure on your career because people have been talking about you for a long time, or does that kind of help your confidence?
No, not at all. I don't feel any pressure at all, you know. At the end of the day, all that stuff outside the ring don't matter when I get in the ring, you know. I done competed on national level, international level, and, you know, in my hometown, out my hometown. My last 2 years of being an amateur, I didn't even get to fight in my hometown. So, you know, all that stuff, it don't even really matter to me because only thing that matters when I get in that ring is the other person on the other side of the, in the other corner. And, you know, that's that.
Now, you're coming up with a bunch of talent in Detroit area. Where do you think you rank in this talent? What are your strong?
I'm the best of the best.
You're the best of the best? You're saying you're going to be the best coming out of Detroit?
I'm the best of the best. You hear me? They ain't been talking about me for no reason. It's something they seeing, you know?
So what people are going to witness, because just like when people saw Floyd Mayweather Jr. fight at Cobo Center, they should be at the fights this Saturday at Masonic Temple so they can say, I saw Jericho O'Quinn fight early on in his career, and then you're going to be the big lights in Vegas.
I'm going to tell you like this. Everybody that be at the fight, they're going to come back to the next fight and bring somebody with them because they're going to tell them about me.
I love that, dude. I love that attitude. I love that confidence and stuff like that. Can you tell us, you've been working with Dynamic Boxing Club for a long time. Tell us your relationship with them and how they're getting you ready for this fight.
I started training with Dynamic in 2009, and, you know, it didn't take no time for me to get ranked. You know, in a year, I was already top in the state in my weight class. And then by the next year, I was number one in the country. I won the Junior Olympic Nationals. And, you know, so we just been growing and learning fast and picking up everything. And we got a great relationship in and out the gym. And, we, you know, it's like a family, you know. And, man, my coach just knows so much, you know what I'm saying. So, actually, my coach fought Floyd Mayweather in the 96 Olympic trials. But,
really?
You know.
Yeah, we're good friends with him. I sit on the board of the Metro Detroit Golden Gloves and stuff. He's a great guy. You're with a great guy with Chad and everything like that. So tell us, are we going to see a knockout by you, or are you going to work on some stuff with Chad this weekend?
This weekend is going to be entertainment. You know, I'm going to get to have a crowd on their feet, and I can't tell you how I'm going to end it because you got to come to see it for that. You know, I can't tell you everything today. Because I got to leave room to be able to tell you something tomorrow, you know?
I love it. Tell us about some of the fighters that are out there on pay-per-view or at HBO or Showtime. Anybody that's must-see TV for you that when they're fighting on HBO or Showtime, you got to watch them?
Anybody that fights. I look at skills. So, you know, anytime Andre Ward fight, I got to see it. Floyd fight, I got to see it. Anytime my homeboy Eric Salubin fight, I gotta see it. Earl Spence fight, gotta see it. And ain't too many other guys out there that I just gotta see.
Now, we wish you the best of luck on Saturday, but who do you want to give a shout-out to, and where can people follow you if they want to follow more of your career?
All right, if y'all want to follow my career, you can follow me on Instagram at Great Lakes King, and you can follow me on Facebook at Great Lakes King.
Awesome, Jericho.
And, you know, on my Instagram, you can see all my other things from there. And I gotta give a shout out to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I gotta give a shout out to Demetrius Leader for believing in me, and my Mike Lenardi and Rick Torres for believing in me, and my coaches for being behind me.
Yeah, the Salida pickup of you. I mean, you're a top prospect. This is a big signing for Salida. There's no question about it. Like I said, people have been talking about you for a long time. I expect big things of you, and I know you're going to deliver. So I'm excited to see you fight Saturday. When I see you, maybe we'll do an interview after the fight too. You stay strong, my man.
All right, thanks. You too.
All right, that's Jericho O'Quinn. He is fighting this Saturday. The Detroit Brawl 3, it's happening from the Masonic Temple, Saturday, July 16th, 6:30. Tickets are still available. We are going to give away two tickets somehow. Haven't figured out how we're going
to
do it.
So this is what we're going to do. If you want tickets to the fights this Saturday at the Masonic Temple, you must send us a message. I'm about to post a status to our Facebook page, but do not reply to the status. You must send us a message with who... the name of the promoter for the fights. We've said it several times on the show, so if you were listening, you should know who it is. You must send us a message with the name of the promoter for the fights. And first one to respond correctly will win, what is it, two tickets?
Two tickets.
Two tickets to this Saturday's fight at the Masonic Temple. You can see our guest that we just got off of, Jericho O'Quinn, fight Sergio Aguilar. So I'm posting that right now, and the first one to send us a message will be the winner of two tickets.
Let's talk about the main event really quick, because I can't remember a main event in Detroit since probably maybe Bronco McCart versus Tony Harrison. That is a legit main event, and maybe there's one that's slipping my mind, so I deeply apologize, but I'm going through the recollection. Here you have Andy Ruiz Jr., I'd pronounce it
Ruiz
Jr. fighting Joshua Gromley. Andy Ruiz Jr. undefeated, ranked in the top 10 for heavyweights. First off, people love heavyweight fights, boxing, but he's going against a Joshua kid with a 22-4 record that has some Jack Dempsey blood in him, and not only 22 wins but 21 by knockouts. And there's already some articles out there that maybe Joshua can pull up an upset. We have a legit main event this Saturday. I don't remember, like I said, maybe Bronco McCart versus Tony Harrison's the last time we've had a legit main event.
Main event.
So I am super excited for this. If you got to see one boxing event this summer, come out and see this one.
So just for, because I know we have a lot of different kinds of people listening to the show. So Brad, just tell us why people should be excited about Josh being a descendant or a related to Jack Dempsey. Who was Jack Dempsey?
Jack Dempsey was like one of the greatest. And I got, you know, my computer pooped out on me, and I don't know how Josh, but even his nickname is Josh Dempsey.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool. You know, like we said, dude, boxing in MMA, it's a lot about gimmicks. I think it's cool, dude, that he's a descendant, and it just gives him some markability. What I'm more impressed with is the 22 wins, 21 knockouts. So the guy takes care of business. Obviously, Andrew Ruiz Jr. has a big future ahead of him, but, I mean, he's fighting a legit competitor here. And here you have a main event that, at this time, I can't pick. And I can't remember the last time that was a situation. And I can't remember, like I'm saying, Harrison versus Bronco McCart might have been the last fight people were really, really talking about as the main event. So the main event alone is worth the price of admission. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com or the Masonic box office. So go get them. I'm excited.
Whoop, whoop.
Awesome. I know. Saturday.
And then Saturday.
We're going to try to get a lot of interviews. And then if you've been with us for a long time, we are rocketing towards our 200th episode.
Yeah.
The hosts have just started to brainstorm on what we're going to do. I guarantee it's going to be pretty pretty unique, whatever we decide on doing. But 200 episodes over 3.5 years, four years. Dang, dude. That's,
yeah.
We started 3 years ago in April.
Yeah, we're like,
dang. Yep. We're old.
Don't get me started.
You're young.
I turned 40 in December.
Okay. I turned 40 in October.
See?
I turned 39 in September.
October what?
October 4th.
October 12th.
You know, honey, because you
okay.
Honey, you're going to, and you're going to be what?
You're
going to
turn, you're going to turn 20.
Really?
You're going to turn 22 in October, right, honey?
Yeah.
Thank
sure
you.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you know?
You're 12.
How do I know? How do I know? Because you just accepted my Facebook friend request.
Actually, I don't.
Now he's stalking you.
She leaned over and typed her name
whatever
into the search thing.
Whatever, Marv.
And
sure,
friend me.
Sure, Marv.
Now, hold on.
He
oh,
asked
listen.
Me for
Creeper
it.
Vibe, no.
Yeah,
sorry.
Right, Marv.
Listen,
right.
Listen.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Listen, well, that is what. Now, I'm going to cop to something here. Hold on. Now, she did that.
Yeah.
But then I started looking at her pictures.
Of course you did.
And
right.
I kept looking at
yeah,
her pictures.
Of course
pictures
you did.
And downloaded a few of them.
Of course
really?
You did. Yeah. Don't put anything on Facebook.
Okay, don't download.
You don't want somebody to download
no,
on their computer
you know
and put
what's so
into
funny?
Their spank
y'all
bank.
Know, well, I'm going to share something that happened to me earlier.
I'm going
to
share something with you too. You won't
something.
Be in the room, but later we will share a tender moment.
So listen, can I share something?
Yeah.
Yeah, go
please
ahead.
Do.
Okay, so I was at AutoZone. can I tell my story?
Yeah, go ahead.
AutoZone getting blinker fluid, right?
Left-handed screwdriver.
I needed to get my battery checked at AutoZone.
Okay.
So when I was going in, I saw an older man look at me. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I paid him no mind. Mm-hmm. So when I was backing in, I saw him come in.
Mm-hmm.
I paid him no mind. So I walked into AutoZone and I asked him, "Are y'all doing battery check testing today?" They did battery check testing. He came out. I seen an older man come up. He asked me, "Are y'all is it working for you?" So listen. Meanwhile, he has the phone. Like this, taking a picture of me.
Nice.
So I hear a click.
Uh-huh.
Then I hear another click. Then I hear another click. and then he walked away. So I asked the man that was doing the test, and I said, "Do you know him?" He said, "No." I said, "He's taking a picture of me."
Oh.
Did he chase him down and get his phone back?
So I walked right to him.
Yeah.
I said, "I like your phone. Can I see the front of it? I'm interested in a new phone." So he said, "You want to see my phone?" So he was hesitating to let me see the front of the phone.
Of course, yeah.
So I said, "Like, can I see the phone?" So I said, "You was taking a picture of me." He said, "No, it wasn't. My phone was ringing." I said, "What are you talking about? Let me see the front of your phone."
No, he may be right.
So,
my ringtone goes click, 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 click.
I said, "Okay." I walked around to the back of his van and tried to take a picture of his license plates. He came out of the car and bended his license plate and broke it in half so I wouldn't take a picture.
Hold on, back up five steps. First off, it's not a crime to take a picture of you.
He,
so what the heck were you
because
doing?
Because he obviously is guilty about something that he's
guilty
been doing.
What?
He obviously is guilty about something that he's doing. I have on short shorts.
Okay.
And he's taking a picture of me.
Now.
And he spat off.
Can I give you a nickel's worth of free advice?
That's guilty. He could at least ask for my number.
Hold on. I want to give you a nickel's worth of free advice. A strange man takes pictures of you. And he's in a van.
I got some Pokemon
never,
in there.
No,
never approach the van.
No, yeah. Listen.
That the strange man is in.
No.
Never go with a hippie to a second location, all right? It ranks
before
up there
I
with that.
Before I came into the AutoZone, I was driving, and I saw him pass me in the car. So as I was parking, he went around the block. So as I was parking, he came into the AutoZone.
He was.
So I walked into the AutoZone.
He was straight up going to take you.
Yeah.
That's what my mom said.
He was going to take you.
No, that's exactly what was happening.
That's what my mom said.
He was taking your picture to put on a website so that somebody could buy you.
That's exactly
probably
what
I'm not kidding. I know. I'm being absolutely serious right now.
Whatever.
I think he was just perving.
He was perving.
Then why did he
rip
go
off
to
his
such
license
an
plate.
Extreme
yeah.
about
he
his
did.
License plate.
He did. I'm about to show y'all the picture.
I believe you. Like that's extreme, right?
Let me see the license plate.
He broke it. Y'all gonna be like, wow, he broke it.
I think she missed an opportunity to get like free stuff from him. I would have walked up AutoZone with like a cart, and I'd have been like, you know what? I don't have enough money to pay for all this. Old man, come over here.
No, as soon as I walked in and walked out, he was outside. Look at his license plate.
All right, hold on a second. Keep talking. I'm gonna check something.
He broke it. Please tell me you can look his license plate up.
You can, but
I don't see this.
He broke it.
Let's see.
Look at it. It was perfect. He broke it. He bended it up.
That is that's unusual.
He broke it. I was shaking. I was so scared.
Let me see it.
He's driving a grand caravan, so at least it's not like a white, like windowless service van, but it's a grand caravan.
He's plotting.
Look at the license plate again.
The birthday is January. Yeah.
The birthday is January. Okay. It is a Michigan plate. It has the
bridge on it. I'm about to take a picture of your license plate. He said, "Don't take a picture on my license plate. Why are you gonna take a picture on my license plate?" Mind you, it was like 15 people outside. It was a crowd full of people outside.
He was gonna take you.
He didn't care.
He was absolutely gonna take you.
I was shaking.
I like to think the grand caravans aren't used for
that.
License plate was perfect.
He broke it.
That's crazy.
That's an extreme. You don't want somebody to just take off. You don't bend up your license plate.
He tried to bend it up so I wouldn't take a picture.
Yeah, I gotcha. That's a bizarre story. That's an extreme.
Really trying to take me, and this was today. This was a few hours ago.
Wait, that was today?
That was today. A few hours ago.
Oh goodness gracious!
A few hours ago, I could have been kidnapped.
We'd have just thought you no showed. You'd be like. Seven being seven.
Was it a 2005 Dodge Caravan?
It certainly looked like it could have been, sure.
It's green.
Yeah, we're not releasing any information.
Dodge Grand Caravan.
Release that information. No, we're not. Because you know what? I called the police, and the first time they said, call me back with the license plate. So I called them back. They didn't answer the phone.
Well, first off, taking pictures are no offense. He didn't really do anything. I'm not saying you weren't in danger.
He put himself in a guilty situation because of how he reacted to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing that concerns me. That's an extreme reaction.
He broke his own license plate to cover it. So he's obviously riding around plotting on little girls, and that's exactly what I think.
Hmm.
And the Detroit police did not answer the phone.
The fact that he saw you and like followed you in, and then took pictures, and then got pissed about like that. I'm sorry. That's shady as hell.
Three, four pictures. That's terrible.
He was snapping pictures. They're probably on a website right now.
Don't say that.
I'm saying right now you need to be hyper aware of your surroundings.
Don't go anywhere without people. The license plate is not popping up on any record. So there's nothing clean. He's not clean, but there's no warrants or felonies, or he's not under investigation or anything like that.
How did we become like mysteries, unsolved mysteries or something?
Since somebody messed with one of our ring girls.
Exactly. I understand. I'm absolutely – if somebody like that, I'm checking.
I am checking to make sure that guy, you know.
There's nothing yet that pops up with that license plate number.
But what's so crazy is that van looks so familiar.
It's probably been following you.
Oh, great.
Someone said ladder earlier.
We're under a severe thunderstorm warning.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah, we got like crazy storms coming our way, like all the way through Thursday.
Well, it just popped up on my.
Oh, God. Just like all the way through Thursday.
We have like crazy thunderstorms.
So we got to talk about this really quick until we move on to another subject because we're at the 8:36 mark of the show. Thanks for listening if you listen podcast. So when we met, honey, we've been friends for a while. You've been working for us on and off for a little bit.
Yep.
Your name was Honey. That's your natural name, right?
Her Christian name, as they say.
Or on your birth certificate, Honey, right?
No, that's not on my birth certificate.
Oh.
That isn't Brad. Where have you been? Rochelle, no.
Okay, well, we're refreshing for people. But Honey's what you go by.
Yes.
And then you decided on Facebook, because now you have a music career and you got other stuff going on, modeling.
Correct.
That you went by Seven Star.
Oh, I saw the picture. She got a lot going on. That's
actually
for sure.
Seven Star.
Oh, okay.
It's actually abbreviated.
Like SARS?
It's a SAR. But I actually took away the A and just added SAR. So people calling me Star, and I don't know where they're getting the T from.
I'm confused.
Okay.
I am very confused.
But now you're looking to go for a third name.
It is Seven
You're not
star.
Sure.
I don't know. Seventh,
there's
no,
an
actually, ex- they made up their own name about the Seven so, Star.
There's an extra never, R. S-A-R-R.
Yeah, I'm debating.
Okay.
SAR.
So what is that? What does Seven
She's a
SAR
pirate.
Mean?
SAR.
It was taken from an ex relationship.
Okay. You know what? That's a terrible idea.
Yeah. You can dump me, but I'll take your name.
I love it, though. I actually love it. And he is no longer going by the name, so I actually think I can take over.
But wait, he
was Seven Sar?
No, he was Seven. And his last name he was going by was Asar.
Now, why?
Okay. A lot of name
okay,
changes.
Now you have to convince. Wow. Now you have to convince me that you're not still obsessed with this guy.
No. I'm so.
Well, you have literally taken his name
because I made email addresses, so I couldn't get rid of it.
Because those are so expensive, right?
Binding
to get another one of those, and it's not like you can forward emails to a new email.
People started to call me Seven. Mm-hmm. And we was in a relationship. That was my first love. And we agreed if we ever had a child, her name was going to be Seven. His or hers.
Where did the name Seven come from for him? Or do I want to know?
I don't know. I mean, well, he's from... Well, I don't know. I really don't know. He just... Mm-hmm. Seven. He likes
but
seven,
you're ready
so.
For a new name.
You want a new name.
For my child. That's what we was, you know, agreeing on.
No, but we're talking about you.
So you want a new name.
Yeah.
So Honey is out and Seven Sar is out. We need a new name for you.
Why don't you just go by your actual name?
I don't know, people.
Name.
I need help.
What's your birth certificate name? You want to whisper it to me?
I know a Grand Caravan that would love to know that info.
My name is Lucretia.
Okay. Now, how do you not want to stick with that? That is a beautiful name.
That's awesome.
Really?
And Lucretia? That could be your third name. I'm serious.
Seven Honey Lucretia.
No, I'm just saying.
Seven
like,
Honey Lucretia.
No, like just the name seven. Lucretia.
Honey,
you know, like Madonna. Like Madonna or Pink
it,
or just Lucretia.
You're right.
I'm just saying.
But you know what? I changed my name in the first place because my history I had on that name. It's so much happened in my past, and I wanted to get rid of the past, so I decided to get a new name.
Okay, so Lucretia has some things associated with it that you want to leave behind. Okay, all right. Well, then we still need to find a new name for you then.
Okay, so do you want...
But at the same time, I'm actually, you know, it's me, so I have to accept what's going on and what's going on.
And if you take that name as you want this for what, your modeling or singing career or
everything, something?
Okay. If you take that name and you make something positive out of it, then that will offset the negative that's and you will be able to change
exactly
the association of that name.
Yep.
See?
I'm telling you.
So is this more music performance or more modeling?
Both. Everything. I wanna model, I wanna act. And I want to sing.
I can make all this happen for you. No, you can't.
I really can do everything.
Just don't take a picture of my license plate, but come out to my van.
I have pictures. I can record your voice.
Come on out. We'll see what kind of talent you got.
At least he could have asked me for a picture. You know, can we take a picture together?
That's right.
You know?
I like that you're still worried about the fact that he snapped a picture. Not that if 15 less people had been outside, he would have thrown you in his van.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He wouldn't have did that.
The bullshit! You walked right over to him. You walked right over to him.
I was listening. When I came out the AutoZone, I came out with the dude that was working inside the AutoZone.
I know, but he followed you to the AutoZone.
But I was with the dude, the other dude.
Well, yeah, that's why he aborted his plan.
He was talking to both of us. He was not about to get me by myself.
Well, but
if we was... He was gonna have a hell of a time.
Well, he still may try. He has the pictures of you now.
Yep, he do. And you know what my friend
people
said
are
earlier,
bidding right
he
now.
Might be masturbating to my picture right now. But you know what?
Oh man,
that's a very good possibility.
Well, it's that.
And you know what? I don't even care. You know what? I really don't even care.
Really, it's flattering
because I'm model. You know, and I have lingerie pictures out in.
You sure do,
Jimmy.
You should see some of these,
so.
My man.
I really don't even. It don't even really.
So, do you want to stick with like the numeric thing, or do you want to like move on to like
a word
or something like
that? What if you went to like? How tall are you?
5'3".
Okay. All right.
I still think she should keep Lucretia. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah.
Lucretia.
Yeah.
But it's tough. No. It's tough to spell at a Harmony House.
No, it's not.
It's hard to spell at a Harmony House because first you have to build a time machine. You have to get in that time machine, travel back to 1992.
Even
Harmony House has not existed in this millennium.
No,
even worse. Best Buy online. I'm typing in Lucretia, and it's going to give me like LaRouche, the French.
Yeah, how do you spell that?
Lacretisha. But you know what? The common way is to spell it L-U-T-R.
Yeah, you don't want to mess up album sales.
What about just L?
Well, no, because well, then there's a magazine called L, and there's L McPherson.
Oh, you're thinking E-L-L-E. No.
You're thinking E-L-L-E.
I understand that, but it's a homonym, dude. L and L.
No. It symbolizes loser. She's no loser.
Yeah, then the people are doing that. Yeah, so how about... let's see. So we got, Honey, Lucretia.
Man, I mean, this is a big decision.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like we should put a poll up on our Facebook and see. What
about like an anagram?
Well, we
got to
get the guy that took it from the Grand Caravan pictures. So we don't have any.
Yeah. Right? Well, I'm sure we can find that.
If he can forward us those four pictures of you in the short shorts, we'll be okay.
I'm going to creepyassolddudes.org. Oh, look, there it is right there. It's the top hit.
The only reason that you could get on there is because you're the moderator, Marv.
Well, I'm not the moderator, but I'm...
You're an admin, at least.
Let's just say... Let's just say I have passwords that you don't.
I'm sure you do.
let's say I may or may not own the domain, that's all. So a new name.
It's more difficult than you think.
It really is especially
because like you can't switch names anymore. Like, I mean, you're 22 and you've already had a lot.
Yeah, like this has to be it. Yeah.
It's got to be like on you like pretty solid.
Right. So what?
Do you want to put any royalty in your name?
I like Honey. I love Honey because everybody know me as Honey. Well, who doesn't? That on my body. But at the same time, I think it's too simple.
Where do you have Honey at?
On my panty line.
What?
Prove it.
Can I just say that every single radio time we have you on, we have the best stories coming from you. Oh my god!
Now let me ask you this: Does your
because she puts herself in these terrible situations?
So you have Honey on your panty line. Is there an arrow associated with it at all?
No, it's actually butterflies leading there.
Okay. All right. So.
All right,
the butterflies are coming out and to the name Honey.
No. Old Station. We got to clean it up.
But she didn't say where it's leading to.
I mean,
I think you're drawing some conclusions, and that makes you the pervert.
Get your mind out of the gutter, Brad.
Yeah.
We're talking about body art here.
I'm taking it serious. I'm going through names that could stick for there. I like the royalty thing.
What's
the name of the girl that had that royal song? What was her name?
Lord.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But that would be...
It's already taken.
Reminded me of Madonna's
she would
daughter.
Need to be... Yeah, I mean, she'd have to be like a lady. There's Duchess, but that's Fergie.
Exactly. And you know what? Honey, a lot of people say, well, do you dance? And no, you know, I don't dance. So maybe I should switch it up a little bit.
Is that your stage name?
Right, exactly. Well, is that your stage name?
There was also the movie Honey with... what's her face?
Jessica Alba.
Jessica
Everybody
Alba,
grab your dollars. Honey's about to take the stage.
Yeah, that's really... Maybe...
That's the old radio station right there, Brad.
How about like cinnamon or diamond or something like that to stay in the...
You know what's funny? That was almost
cubic zirconia. Ooh, do cubic zirconia.
Really?
CZ. Yeah, that says...
What about...
It says you're elegant but attainable.
No, they're going to be like this fake...
What about...
All right, lab-created diamond then. How about that?
What about blood diamond?
No, dude.
What is wrong with you?
Everything is so common. I want something blood diamond. What's wrong with you? Something different. You know, that's so common.
Blood diamond?
Really?
Let me tell you this: if you're at a strip club and he's like, "Guys, come to the stage now," is blood diamond. You get up and you leave. All right.
I'm not gonna be in a strip club.
I didn't say you were. You're saying that the name blood diamond is too common, and I'm saying that's crazy.
Well, we ain't in a strip club.
Topaz.
That's a car. That's a shitty knockoff of the Tempo, which was shitty to begin with.
Emerald?
Emeralds are actually more expensive than diamonds.
Yeah.
I know that because my wife wanted one for her engagement ring.
I know someone that's named
Ruby makes me think of like a hillbilly country singer.
Ruby TV Onyx. Restaurants, they went away.
Onyx, I believe there's already a rapper named Onyx.
Oh, is there?
He's a dude.
Okay.
Let boys be boys.
This is actually more difficult than I ever thought.
Do you want to stick?
I would say Pearl, but that's an old white lady.
Yeah. Do you want to stick? Do you want to go with like a jewel type of scenario or... Like what? What are your thoughts on like a genre, so to speak, or like a theme? Do you want
material, or do you want mystical?
I kind of want to add something.
What about just being a symbol?
You could be the artist formerly known as
Honey.
Honey. That's and your good. Your symbol would be.
You're listening to a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.